This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Dan Menigan, Andy Baskin here. And, you know, there were some things that he said I found to be interesting, especially the talk for long-term play for some of these draft picks and making sure that they get players that, you know, aren't, it's not a rash decision when they go to get them. So we'll figure it out. All right, let's go to the hotline. Chris Easterling is standing by from the Akron Beacon Journal. And here you go.
And you can hear him on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Chris, what's up, buddy? You there? All right, Chris, we're going to toss you back on hold, and we'll have some technical difficulties going on right now. We'll see if we can figure something out. So, yeah, you're right. There wasn't a whole boatload that was working there that he was going to give, I should say. There wasn't a whole boatload that Andrew Berry was going to get, but I thought he gave more than usual. I mean, I can't walk out of that press conference saying the same thing that we've done in the past, where we were like, oh, this is the press conference where nobody, you know, where I don't say anything and you guys sit back and enjoy. So maybe Chris Easterling got a little bit more. And of course, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is how you, is where we're going to hear Chris. You there, buddy?
0 for 2. If we swing one more time, does that mean we're done? We got to step out of the batter's box?
Let me try this one. All right, Chris, let me throw you back on hold. Let me try one other thing here.
Look at this. Does it get any more fun than this? Playing playing roulette as we try to figure this thing out.
All right, Kayla, you answer it this time.
All right, there we go. Now we figured it out. I think we're going to get it here in a second. So Chris was there. I again, you know, the Browns are a week away from the draft. We're all away from a week away from the draft as it'll be at 8 o'clock next week. Everybody's getting set. A lot of friends going to the Journey concert before, leading up to the concert. You got buddies going or no?
I do not yet, though. I got to check around still. I think because I've got one buddy who throws a massive draft party every year, and so everybody goes over there and brings a whole bunch of food, and they watch the first round of the draft and all that stuff. So I don't know. Maybe they'll have a boombox going with Journey on it in the beginning. You know, maybe they'll
at
do that.
House?
But yeah, oh yeah, at his house. We'll see if that ends up being the case. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Well, you know, I'll be working Browns Radio Network, so
right.
You know, we'll be behind the scenes running around taking care of everything in between there. So we'll see.
Yeah, you'll be able to hear everything on the fan that night too, so you're not going to miss a minute of anything if you're driving around town or if you're trying to just get the latest on what's going on with the NFL draft. You know, you can lock it into 92.3 The Fan next Thursday night as we do our Browns Radio Network coverage, where you'll be able to hear all the picks right as soon as possible. And then, you know, I don't know that there's another – I don't know if there are very many teams out there that you hear from your first-round pick, like, almost immediately. I'm always shocked at how quick we're able to get them on the air, whether they're coming to play for the team either, because normally, you know, those guys are getting on the phone quick, and they're talking to the teams or talking to their new coaches. But we've had the opportunity to be able to get them on the line quicker for you. So, all right, you want to give this one more try?
Eh?
Here we go.
Here we go, Chris. Chris Easterling, Academic Journal, you got us? Nope.
Oh, four,
Baxter,
three.
Is that you? Bark twice if you're in Milwaukee.
What happens if we try to answer it upstairs? We're going through some remodeling today.
Yeah, so we're doing all sorts of construction and all that kind of stuff. We're down in the conference room once again where Jeff and I were yesterday. So we're going through some stuff. Chris?
Yeah.
There we go.
We got him. Woo-hoo! Thank you, buddy.
Hey, what's up?
Well, that was an adventure. I'm glad we found you.
Thank you for your patience.
No problem. What's going on?
We really think this call waiting thing and call forwarding thing is going to catch on.
Let me
at some
tell
point.
You. Woo!
Technology.
All right, what was more exciting, trying to get you on the air or the press conference we heard from Andrew Berry this morning?
It's a neck and neck race as I try to figure out which one wins that one. he is one just such a unique talent that we really haven't seen. And it's not just the ability to play wide receiver, the ability to play cornerback, ability to play in both way, you know, both extensively. It's the intelligence, it's the football IQ, it's the conditioning. It's just, it's just so many things that have to come together to create that player. I think as a team that seems to love traits, there are just so many of them with this guy that it's hard not to find yourself when you're asked about him to just sort of gush about.
Chris, I thought it was interesting just listening to the line of questioning. I'm not saying that it's reality or not, but the feeling I got, especially for like the first, I don't know, what do you speak for, 20 minutes, maybe half hour? There were a lot of Travis Hunter questions. Do you think the majority of the people in that room think that they're going to draft Travis Hunter with the number two pick?
I think the majority of them think that, but I don't know, you know, because it just – again, they may go Abdul Carter. They may surprise everybody because I do think it would be surprised if they took Shador at two. But I think everybody sort of feels like the tea leaves are sort of trending toward Travis as being the guy, just because, you know, the talent he is, and really in a draft like this, he may be one of the safest picks where. We know we're going to get something that can help our football team. Where it is, we'll see. We'll figure it out when we get him here. But this is a guy who can make plays for us, probably make plays for us from almost day one.
Chris Easterlin, Akron Beacon Journal, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So, Chris, you're scrubbing quarterback from the table at two. You think that's the case for the Cleveland Browns?
I just think, you know, positional, again, the positional value, I understand the quarterback, but I think they don't view Shador Sanders quite the same tier as they would Cam Ward. And so they feel like they can they probably also feel comfortable enough with maybe a Jackson Dart, a Tyler Shuck, a Jalen Milroe, that is the gap between Cam and Shador is bigger than the gap between Shador and those other guys, so that they feel like, you know, they can get later that quarterback who could potentially be the quarterback of the future.
I'm thrilled you brought that up because I thought it was really fascinating, Chris, how he came out, Andrew Berry is, that is, and said that the fifth-year option doesn't have as much meaning to them. Like, that to me screams, hey, we're not trading up for a quarterback. Like, we are happy with whomever may fall at 33 or even later on in the draft. Is that how you interpreted it?
Well, I think it's also, I mean, let's think about this. If you know you've got your guy, you don't need the fifth year option anyways, because by that point you have negotiated a long-term deal. How many of the guys who get the long-term deals, the big contracts, get to their fifth-year option anyway? So if you know you've got your guy, you know by year two, year three, and you get them locked up to whatever the market rate is going, therefore the fifth-year option is really kind of irrelevant. So that if you actually get a player on a fifth-year quarterback on a fifth-year option, it's sort of red flags. I would take it as sort of red flags of, well, why is this guy – why are they still uncertain? Why haven't they locked him down? So that's sort of what I read, and kind of took from the lack of needing the fifth year option on the quarterback.
Chris, the way he was talking about players that they're looking at drafting, he talked with a guy that has confidence beyond this year, did you get that same kind of read? I mean, obviously, we're listening to him. You see the body language while he's talking. So I'm just curious, I mean, especially when he talked about, like, you know, getting guys that can, you know, maximize their importance on the team for an extended period of time. It's not like they're not going to make a knee-jerk reaction on any one of these picks to say, we got to win the second. So I don't know. He talks like a guy with a lot of confidence that seems like he can feel good in his job for the next maybe 2 years at least.
Well, I think he and Kevin, you couple of what Jimmy Haslam said down in Palm Beach a couple weeks ago, I think they're getting the mulligan under the Deshaun Watson deal. I think, and they're getting an opportunity to show to try to dig out of that hole. And I think that barring something catastrophic happening this fall, I think they're going to get 26 as well. That they understand it's not just a one draft, one off season fix. It's a multiple off season fix. That 26 is the year where you start looking and really. Guys, also, you know, a lot of that offensive line is going to be a free agents after next year. So it's just, I think that's. They see this as a multi-year plan.
It sounds like ownership has given.
I think they've been given somewhat of insurance, with new code, or as much as one as you can get in the NFL. From the Haslam, that they're going to get that.
But that it was the 90s moving.
That's what it seems on our end too, Chris, because there is Andrew Berry's voice, the way that they've operated this offseason, the way that they've addressed free agency. There's no desperation. Nothing that they have done has seemed to be like a desperation, oh my gosh, we have to win 7 games this year or else we're all unemployed. They've really operated with this idea of, okay, we're going to try to build this, maybe get some developmental guys, go from here and see what the next evolution of the Browns roster is. Like, I don't want to call it a rebuild. I think retool might be the way to put it. At least that's how I'm seeing it, man. Do you see it that way?
I think it is a rebuild. I just don't think they want to use that word because rebuild comes with its connotations of what the reality of it is. I think they're just being realistic, to be perfectly honest. I think, you know, again, they look at the whole situation. They look at where the roster is. They look at where the salary cap is. They look at where the quarterback position specifically is, and they just see this isn't fixable. You know, we can't just write a couple of checks, you know, to a couple of free agents and you know, hit a couple of draft picks and suddenly we're, you know, 2025, it's worse the first. I think they realize that they got to do this the patient way. They got to do this the right way because it is just, there are so many question marks around this roster that to think you could do it with the cap situation is what it is, considering Deshaun, you know, the Deshaun situation, I just, you know, it's reality. I think it sort of reality bit them last year with the season that happened, and I think they looked at it and was like, look, we have to step back and, you know, we have to sort of be true to what the situation really is.
When you look at that situation, the situation to me says 15.2 points per game last year. I mean, that's just unacceptable in the NFL. That makes you dead last by more than a point. I'm just, and as much as I want to sit here, and I've said it before, that I want them to draft Abdul Carter with the number 2 pick, I just don't know how they can't pick somebody on offense.
Well, that goes back to the Travis Hunter thing. You can put him in, and he may not be a polished wide receiver yet. But you can put it in there and you can figure it out. If the guys they have, Kevin Stefanski, Tommy Rees, all the Bill Musgrave, all those guys are as smart as they, you know, they've shown that time during their career, they can figure out a way to utilize him to make plays, to score points, especially if you couple him with a couple of more picks where, you know, you get a running back, whoever that might be. You help yourself a tackle, you know, you just get a couple more playmakers. And then you're able, suddenly you look like a real offense. You know, you figure the quarterback position out, just professionalize it more than anything else. I wrote this a month ago or so. They just need to get to the quarterback position to a point where it's just stabilized. I mean, it's just they haven't had a stable quarterback situation in years because of everything Deshaun's happened to Deshaun. Just get somebody in there who can, you know, give them a week-in, week-out professional performance at that position and go from there. Consistent profession, you know, consistency at that position where you don't have to worry about, you know, performances all over the, you know, all over the variety of performances, availability, all of that. Just week in, week out, know this guy is going to go out there and he's going to give us a respectable NFL quarterback's day performance, and just settle this. That alone will help this offense.
Chris Easterlin, Acker Beacon Journal, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The other thing that stood out to me is what he said about Kenny Pickett, saying that I think there's an untapped physical ability in there still. Do you believe that?
Look, when's the last time anybody thought the Pittsburgh Steelers had an impressive offense? It's been years.
I mean, maybe the Super Bowl run?
I mean, you got to go back to Ben Bell and
Antonio Brown. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Brown, Antonio Brown. You do. I mean, since then, it's just been, I mean, they win this 1970s-style way of just enough offense to score just enough points that the defense can hold the other team to less than that. And, you know, that's not to say I think Kenny Pickett is some sort of long-term answer, but could you see a world with working in a system, working with Kevin Stefanski, Tommy Rees, Bill Musgraves, where they get enough out of him? Again, like I say, just give you that consistent, solid. It doesn't even have to be above average. Just good enough quarterback play that this offense doesn't look like a train wreck, and I think that's in there with Kenny. How much of it, I wouldn't venture. I wouldn't know, but I can understand why, especially when you're so familiar with that division rival that he was playing for, you can think, well, we just get him here, and we can get that next thing out of him. Because he didn't have this while he was in Pittsburgh, but we can give him this, and that. So maybe we can get enough that at least for 2025, you know, we can sort of solve our quarterback issues short term.
Chris, thank you. As always, we're reading you in the Akron Beacon Journal every day. We always appreciate your time, Ohio.com as well. Thank you, Chris.
And thank you for your patience. Yes. And glad we could get your hearing test out of the way early with all the beeps.
That's true.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll talk to you. Chris Easterling really covers the Browns for the Akron Beacon Journal. It was nice enough to join us here in this hour. All right, let's talk a little bit more about what Chris had to say. And then I want to talk about a high-profile situation in college football. And should we be pointing the finger at the player or the NCAA?
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We'll explain next. Baskin and Phelps with Dan Menigan. There's a story. You love this story, don't you? You love this college football story.
I just think it's, once again, where everything sits in college football and how one singular fight that the NCAA did tooth and nail, instead of coming up with a plan, bites them in the rear end again. Like, and we're talking Nico Iamaleava and the idea, and him telling Tennessee that he is going to go away from there because he wants more money at NIL. He has now, it has been reported that he's heading to UCLA.
But it's not a done deal. It was not what a I done read this deal. Morning. Yeah, it's not a done
yeah.
deal.
It's being reported that he may head to UCLA, finding the money that he's looking for. Tennessee, Josh Heupel basically stepped out and said, hey, you go. You're not a part of what we're doing here. He sat out the spring game.
All right, so stop for this point. Oh, not only sat out, I'll tell you in a second. I'm wondering what you think of this story. And so let me just chime in on that. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. We're wondering what you think of this story. Should the finger be pointed at the player or the NCAA? In fact, he was so scratched from the Tennessee program that he wasn't even in the program.
What, so, they got rid of every single jersey that had his number on it and all that kind of stuff in the pro shop too?
Well, they took away, took him out of the team shop, and then they went back and showed highlight reels from the season before without him. They took him out of everything.
The problem with this,
at least that's what I read. He may have snuck into a couple shots, who knows. But
this feels like one of those where everybody is going to go to Nico and is going to say, you're the problem because you're greedy and you want more money and you want this and you want that. And then another chunk is going to go to Tennessee and go, you're cheap. You should compensate this guy because he makes our team better. And in reality, the anger should be pointed at one place and one place only, and it's the NCAA.
Okay, why do you say that? Why should we be pointing the finger at the NCAA,
because
not the player?
4 years ago, when you were in Congress, and Congress was doing nothing but essentially grandstanding, asking you questions that didn't go anywhere, and dunking on you periodically so that they could get their social media hits, you didn't do what you should have done, which was realize the writing on the wall that name, image, and likeness was going to be legalized, and that it was going to happen through Congress no matter how much you fought, and you came up with a plan. Instead, you were blindsided by this, or acted like you were blindsided, even though we all knew this was coming. You were blindsided by it. You put in no rules. You put in no regulations. You didn't put in any contracts. You didn't do anything like that. You basically just decided, oh no, this is legal now? Oh, we didn't see it coming. Oh, the horror, the humanity, the terror. Oh, and just let it be the wild, wild west instead of sitting down and going, all right, this is how we're going to do this. These guys are going to be compensated for this and this. Let's see if we can work in a salary cap. Let's see if we can work in guaranteed contracts. Let's see if we can work in all of these different things to prevent it from happening. The problem is, I can't yell at somebody and be angry at someone for operating in a system of no rules. Just because you don't like morally what they're going about, well, there's no rules. There's nothing to stop this. So yelling at someone for exploiting the system is pointless instead of yelling at someone for the system itself. And that's what ticks me off. And that's why the NCAA is at fault more than anybody else.
All right, I'm just trying to digest everything you just said. I'm wondering, if you were one of the Power 5-4 schools, right, or while this stuff is going on.
4+2.
Yeah. If you were one of them, didn't you kind of want this to go this way? That it would be the Wild Wild West? Because let's be honest, the Wild Wild West has existed for years. The difference is it was behind a closed door. And they were like, yeah, you could get in trouble for this if we get caught.
Well, but they didn't have the portal aspect of it. They had the, you know,
And by the way,
point to the great aunt and dialysis and all of those kind of things.
By the way, the college football playoff makes $1.3 billion every year on a $7.8 billion 6-year deal.
Yeah. This is why if you have a problem with this situation, don't yell at the kid. Don't yell at his father. Heck, don't even yell at Tennessee.
How much is he going to end up getting? What's he going to end up making at UCLA? Is he going to get $4 million?
There was talk initially that he may have had to take a pay cut because he was coming into this thing late. Who knows? I have no idea. I'm sure it will come out and they will say how much money he's making. And if it's a pay raise from where he was, good on him. Because that's the rules. That's what you can do. Mm-hmm. There are no punishments for the transfer portal. There are no punishments to do this. There are no regulations for any of this. So, heck yeah, you could just hop into portal and go do what you want. Because you're just playing the game. If you don't like the results of the game, you need to change the game. That's the problem that I have with all of this and people screaming about him. It's not his fault. It's the NCAA's fault for going, this happened. I don't know what to do. Well, let's just do nothing.
I didn't see it coming.
Right. Oh, he didn't see this coming. What do you mean he didn't see this coming? We knew this was coming. We could have told you that from Jump Street. And frankly, I wanted it to happen because I think it's more fun because I think what you're witnessing is the transfer portal and NIL is spreading the talent out to where you want it so then that way you don't have these super teams. You have these guys who are sitting there and going, well, wait, I'm not playing. I'm not getting what I want here. Let me hop in the portal and go somewhere that's going to get me what I want. Hmm. Like, there's so many other aspects to this that's great. And so, if you're Tennessee, you're ticked. If you're a Tennessee fan, you're grumpy about it. You should be. But don't blame him. Blame the NCAA. I mean, it's back to that whole thing, not to go full-blown otter, but like, you're not coming at the fraternity system. You're coming at the United States of America. That's really what this is. It's like, put some regulations in. The NCAA needs to get a governing body on these things. They
who,
need to put
the
in-
why? I mean, look, the governing body is the reason they're in this mess in the first place.
Right.
By the way, this is, and we're going to go to break, this is where my argument about how can they constrict the number of years someone can be a college athlete? How can they do that?
Oh, don't do this now.
This is my argument. I'm just like, if you're going to let all this other stuff happen, why are they restricting the number of years? If you are a student at a school, why are you not allowed to participate? Why should it have to be, well, after you graduate, or you can have 5 years to play six years? Just if you go to school there and you pay your dues, or they want to pay you to be there, why shouldn't you be able to stay forever? I don't understand it. We'll argue it later. It's that hypothetical.
But again, it's that whole thing of you need to sit down and you need to put together, unless you love this.
Who?
And I love this.
Who? Bring it up after the break. Who? Who's going to put it together? That's my question. Because the NCAA doesn't look like it's the governing body that it once was at one point. So we ask this question time and time again. Does the play-in tournament work? Does the play-in tournament work? Does the play-in tournament work? Dan, you want to guess how much tickets are going for according to ESPN? Either one of these games or both of them. You want to take a guess?
$35.
$35 to the Miami Atlanta game or the Dallas Memphis game?
I will say the Miami Atlanta game.
So the Miami Atlanta game that we talk about, tickets are going as low as $22.
Ooh.
So let's play the guessing game again. Dallas and Memphis at Memphis, 9:30 tip Eastern. How much do you think if tickets are 22 for Miami Atlanta? How much do you think they are for Dallas Memphis?
I'll say 24.
Wow, $12 for a playoff game.
Sadly, those are two teams, especially the Memphis one. That season fell apart quickly for them. Sadly,
well, Dallas too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how many Dallas fans are there right now?
That's a very good question in its own right.
I mean, even the Dallas fans aren't Dallas fans. Let's be honest with it. Looking ahead to the Cavaliers, they do have a price for the first game. Tickets as low as $42, according to ESPN, for the 7 o'clock tip-off on Sunday. Again, we wait for the winner of this Miami-Atlanta game. Do you have a preference, my friend?
I have no preference whatsoever, but what I do have to do is be generous. Can I be generous?
Yeah, be generous first.
All right, sounds good. You can win a four-pack of tickets to the Great Lakes Collectors Convention at the Fieldhouse in Independence, April 25th to 27th. Enter the code word HOOP, H-O-O-P, hoop by the end of this hour at 923thefan.com to get registered to win, plus qualify for the VIP grand prize. Get tickets at greenysportscards.com. It's all from the Great Lakes Collectors Convention and Sports Radio 923 The Fan. Again, that code word is hoop, H-O-O-P, hoop. 923thefan.com.
And I'll be out there on, Saturday morning? I think I'll be there, Sunday morning. I'll be out there Sunday morning. We'll have a little bit of fun, so if you want to come on out, we'll talk. We'll have some fun. We'll talk a little bit of sports. We'll talk about the draft, obviously, that coming up after that, too. I'll be there at 11:15 on Sunday out in Independence. They do a great job. I don't know if you, have you ever been out there?
I have not been out there.
So the last time I was there, I think it was 2 years ago. I had to miss last year because I think I was out of town. And I ran into J.W. Haslam out there, who wasn't out there as somebody who was speaking. He was out there with his kids.
That's a thing.
They were just checking it out, and they were just seeing what's going on. If you like collectibles, you're going to love this. So it's a lot of fun, and they do a great job at that event. And I'm looking forward to being out there on Sunday morning at 11:15. Not this Sunday, but next Sunday. Again, let's go back to that other conversation. Miami, Atlanta. Do you have a preference? I have zero preference. I'd rather see – I mean, Atlanta gave them a little bit of trouble early in the season. Miami traditionally gives them problems. Would I think I'd rather have them play Miami? Yeah, probably Miami. But they need to go out and do their thing. I don't. It really doesn't matter. And if they can't get out of the first round, man, is this town going to be disappointed.
I'm not trying to sound arrogant with what I'm about to say. I'm just speaking the truth. I really don't care. I really don't care, Andy.
You don't care who they play?
I don't care who they play. They'll roll through them. Miami is a team that lacks talent. I know they have Eric Spoelstra, but the fact that it's okay, Hero is going to take 30 shots. Bam's one of my favorite players in the NBA. He's just not an offensive player. He's a defense first player. The on the Atlanta side of things, like okay, Trae Young could fill it up fine. As I said to Jeff yesterday, I say, you could say Quinn Snyder because he's the previous coach of Donovan Mitchell. You could say George Niang and Caris LeVert because they were here. That's great. Chris Fedor will write a fantastic long-form piece about that and the relationship between all of those guys. Outside of that, I don't care because the Cavs are better than both of those teams. Both series go five. Take care of yourselves and rest up for the next series when things get real fun.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think it's going to be Atlanta, and I think the Cavs – You think it's five, huh?
I think it's five. Whoever they play. Miami is such a – they lack talent. And they don't even have the talent around the margins that they had when it was, you know, Max Strus and Caleb Martin and all of these different guys that were stepping up out of the G League and looking really good. There's just not that great talent that's there that can take them over the hump and make the Cavs really have to struggle. They just don't have that on that team. And again, I love Bam Adebayo. He's one of the best defensive players on the planet. Offensively speaking, he's not going to drop 25 consistently. That's just not his game. He's a great player to run an offense through. That's just not his game.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Jamie is on line one. Jamie, how are you?
Hey, how you doing? It's JD calling from Cleveland.
Oh, JD, what's up, JD? Sorry.
What's up? So, you know, I'm a Cavs season ticket holder, so you know I'm all into the Cavs. So,
hey, did you get your free round of golf?
No, I can send it to you if you want it.
No, that's all right. I'm just saying, go use it. Stonewater's
good. No, get into that.
No, you back pocket that one, and when you've got somebody who either comes to you and hands you a gift that you don't see coming a last-second birthday, that's when you use it.
You're like, hey, you got to check this out. I got this from the Cavaliers, but I got to tell you, you're so special to me. I wanted to give it to you because
right.
I knew it would be important to you.
That'd be, that's like the plan.
Lay it on thick, my
back pocket that thing. Hey. You'll need it.
But check out, I really think that I really want them to play I don't know. I really want to play the Heat because, we used to beat the hell out of the Hawks back in the day and sweep them. So yeah. I think our little challenge would be more to get back at the Heat because you know how many times, you know how that record was that they used to always beat us and now we back whooping on them. But I think the challenge should be more so with the Heat than with the Hawks. Even though the Hawks did.
They
beat us twice. That's why I kind of don't want to play them. You know what I mean? I think we should just go with another team, but – I'll be there. It's crazy. The game is on my birthday, April 23rd, next Wednesday.
Happy birthday.
Ironically, it's great. Thank you. I appreciate that. But and you already know for my birthday, I want two wins, not one. I want to get them swept. I mean, don't cheat me. I want it all. You know what I mean? But definitely, what y'all think? Who you like?
We're both up in the air on this thing. I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I kind of want them to play Miami too. But if they get the Hawks, they're gonna have. I mean, they got to win to keep going here. So does it really make a difference? I don't think NBA fans are real excited about this play-in tournament and this game that the winner's going to get to the Cavs, especially when we talk about what you know.
I don't like this
$20 to get
into
the game. You know.
I don't like this tournament stuff any. I just think that, you know, it's kind of you cheating the real teams that did it and make them take a chance at losing a game that they should have been in because they had a proven record. And you know how
didn't that happen to us?
It just happened to us a couple years ago.
You play 82 games, and for all of it to come down to one game if you make the playoffs or not, or two games if you make the playoffs or not,
that's why I don't like it. I think I'm with you.
Hey, have a good birthday, JD. We appreciate you listening to your friend of the show.
Happy birthday, y'all. Have a good weekend. Happy Easter.
You too.
Well. Happy Easter. But, like, that's my whole thing. You've played 82 games. Why are we having a play-in tournament? I don't understand it for the life of me. Like,
because now you've got 10 cities interested in the playoffs.
I know why. Because it, you know.
Actually, you've got, you know, two more on each side. So.
Money. I'm aware. Cash rules everything around me. I'm aware. I've learned from the Wu-Tang Clan. I know these things. Like, it all comes back to cash. And it all comes back to 30 people making boatloads of money and more TV money and all that kind of stuff. Like, I get that part of it, but it's like we played 82 games.
I'm going to tell you, I think the best part of this is the rest the team's been able to get, like full rest. This isn't, I'm going to throw one guy, give one guy the night off, and then we're going to bring him back in. And this is full rest. And, you know, the team you're going to have to play has already played two games going into this weekend. So, I feel better about, you know, Donovan Mitchell being 100%. I feel better about all these guys being 100%. Going into the weekend, well, I mean, no one's 100% at this point, but at least rested, and the nagging injuries can kind of work their way out of the system a little bit if these guys are able to, you know, just do it. Look, the season was so much fun. Let's just hope that, you know, they can come through and just everything will be all right this weekend. I don't know. And now that the schedule's out too, you know what you can go out and see, and it's more tangible than it was when the regular season ends and you're the number one or number two seed and you have no idea who you're going to play.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. I hope everybody's rested up. The rust thing worries me, but the fact that you're playing the eight seed, like, and neither of these teams are the We Believe Warriors. Like, I've never looked at either of these teams and, you know, because everybody points, well, you know, that's the eight seed that upset the one. And it's like, yeah, there was the eight seed that upset the one because they ended up making the moves that were necessary to do it. They ended up... Like, they made a bunch of trades in the middle of the season, completely turned their team around, not to mention Don Nelson was a completely different style than what Avery Johnson was playing with the Mavericks at that point. Like, this does not happen very often, and I don't think this Cavs team is one of those teams that you'd point to and say they're on upset alert, and you're worried about them in an upset-type thing. So...
All right, let's get more insight into this Cavs. I wish I could say Cavs Heat matchup or Cavs Hawks matchup, but we don't know yet. So, Danny Green, our Odyssey NBA insider, will clue us in on what's going on next, right here, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.